Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
This is Total Information AM on KMOX. I'm Megan Lynch. As the Missouri legislative session opens today, Democrats are in the super minority. I spoke with the top Republican leader in the Senate Monday, and today I'm joined by the new minority leader of the Missouri House, Democrat Representative Ashley Aune. Thank you so much, Representative, for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Let's first start with your legislative priorities this session, personally for you as a lawmaker and then for your caucus.
Absolutely. Well, my biggest legislative priority for myself would be a piece of legislation that I proposed 2 years ago and finally got a hearing on last year. It basically directs courts in Missouri to allow divorce regardless of pregnancy status in a marriage. Currently, we're seeing across Missouri folks being turned away from family courts just because one member of the marriage is pregnant. And unfortunately, that puts some folks, especially women, in abusive situations and really precarious situations. So that's one of my biggest legislative priorities personally. But as in terms of my caucus, we have, you know, a lot of bills that we are filing and that we're passionate about. But I'd like to kind of communicate it in a simpler way, because we have a few overarching priorities as Democrats in Missouri. We want to make life cheaper for Missourians. We want to make life easier for Missourians. And we want to get government out of our lives. Those are the simple tenets that Democrats are going to be following this session and really trying to make a difference in our constituents' lives and Missourians' lives across the state.
Let's talk about that making life cheaper. Governor-elect Kehoe has promised to eliminate the state's income tax. Is that the answer?
I don't believe that's the answer. I like to hear, you know, that Republicans and Democrats seem to have a similar goal, which is make life cheaper for folks. Unfortunately, an income tax cut really benefits folks making the most income, right? Like, you're going to save more if you make more. It's that old adage. And to me, I'd like to see other solutions. I'd like to see eliminating sales tax on groceries, for instance. Things that really affect folks every single day that will help them afford eggs and milk and make sure they're able to put food on the table for their families.
When we look at the revenue that's coming into the state, I understand there's already been a little bit of a downturn. Say we eliminate the state's income tax or we have other kind of cuts to give people relief. Are you concerned about potential cuts in services?
Absolutely, I'm concerned. This is going to be my fifth legislative session as a lawmaker in this state, and this will be the first year, I think, that we're going to see a real tightening of the belt with our budget process due to lower revenues and due to some of these tax cuts that have already been put in place. And I grew up in Kansas, and I represent a district in Kansas City. So I am very familiar with the brownback experience that happened, experiment that happened in Kansas, which decimated the state's revenues. And that is not something that we would like to repeat here in Missouri. And I'm really worried that, yes, essential services will be cut. People like to talk about not wanting to pay taxes, and I get it. I don't want to pay taxes either, but I also want roads to drive on that are safe. And I want public safety folks, first responders to be well paid and taken care of. And I want the social safety nets that exist for folks who are going through a hard time to remain there so that folks really aren't falling through the cracks.
Your predecessor was Crystal Quaid, of course, who ran for governor. What do you feel you learned from her in her time in the chamber that now you're going to apply as leader?
I've learned so much from Crystal, and I am so grateful for her leadership. She was in this position for 6 years, and she built so much infrastructure, both on the campaign side and here in the building. She has really set our Democratic caucus up for success in so many ways. And, you know, learning from her, working with her, being able to work alongside her. I served as the caucus whip for the last 2 years under her leadership. And, you know, she approaches this job with a level of grace that I think is incredibly admirable. And it's something I certainly strive to emulate. But I know I've got big shoes to fill, and I'm very grateful for her leadership and her friendship, because I know that she'll take my call if I've got a question or a problem that I don't feel like I can solve.
Last session, there was a lot of public conflict among Republicans. Do you expect that to continue? And is that something that Democrats need to leverage to their advantage?
Well, it's certainly something that we've leveraged to our advantage in past years, because the Republican infighting has been increasingly extreme. Last year, it really culminated in a very disappointing outcome of passing the fewest number of bills that we've passed in decades in Missouri, if not Missouri's history. So when we talk about, you know, the Republican infighting, I do think that the change in administration, the change in leadership in both chambers, I think that that could go a long way to keeping some of that at bay. I think the dynamics in the Senate have changed a little bit in terms of the Freedom Caucus and things like that. But the fact of the matter is there's still a Republican supermajority. And whether it's a Republican supermajority or a Democrat supermajority, a supermajority isn't healthy for democracy. Democracy, our democracy was built around the idea of checks and balances. And if there aren't enough checks on the supermajority, then things can really run rampant. But what we've seen is that the supermajority has gotten so big that they're just fractioned into these different groups, and they can't agree with one another, and they simply can't get anything done. So yes, we'll continue to leverage it if it happens, but I'm certainly hopeful that they're able to figure out how to be more productive. They do have a supermajority. You would think that they'd be able to pass something.
One of the issues that is of specific importance to folks here in the St. Louis area is control of the St. Louis City Police Department. Obviously, you're from Kansas City, where there is a commission that oversees Kansas City's police department. Where do you stand on this for the city of St. Louis?
Well, you know, Kansas City is, I think, the only major city in the United States that does not have local control over their own police department. And I think that that is shocking in and of itself. And so to try to go in and take control of St. Louis PD as well it's unacceptable to me. It really is. We're not seeing the state control doing anything for our crime rates in Kansas City. We still have Republicans who come down to Jeff City every year and complain about public safety in our cities, but they don't seem to be able to solve the problem with these solutions. What I'd love to do is to get our police commissioner, Stacey Graves, more resources to do her job, to recruit more quality officers and to retain them and to offer them the types of benefits and the pay that they deserve for doing the really hard work of protecting our communities. I don't think it's worked in Kansas City, and I certainly don't think it'll work in St. Louis.
Representative, one last question that I want to ask you is about Amendment 3 enshrining reproductive rights in the Constitution. Republicans have said they want to try to redefine some things that were in there, including fetal viability and how a medical provider should be defined. You know, what is your position on this moving into the legislative session?
What's really disappointing to me is that in my 4 years of serving in this role, I have seen Republican legislators come down to Jefferson City over and over again and try to undo the will of the voters. Voters spoke in November. We were given an option, and we chose to enshrine the right to abortion into our Constitution. So coming back and trying to meddle with that is really frustrating. It insinuates that folks in the legislature don't trust that voters knew what they were voting on. And it's truly disappointing. In terms of the specific questions about fetal viability and defining a provider, what I will say is the supermajority is so fractured that I don't see a single idea rising to the top of the pile. There are a lot of ideas about how to tackle this Amendment 3 issue for them, and I've seen a lot of different bills filed, But I cannot see a scenario in which the Republicans are able to coalesce around one set of ideas here, because they're just all over the place.
That is Democrat Representative Ashley Onney, the House Minority Leader this session. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.